Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your news feed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in their faith. Gen Z, I'm talking to you. If you're a young man today, we want you to learn more about Christ and to walk in the light of His Word. And you're listening to Way of Manhood. I want you to be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortis Plus app to listen to anytime. And if you are listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review. Or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. All right, guys, we are in part two. Our show last time, we kicked off part one, The Just Shall Live by Faith from Romans 1:17. We just looked at the first part of that verse, and so today we're going to look at the second part of Romans 1:17. And if there's one thing that our generation struggles with, it's faith in what we can't see. I mean, think about it. We live in the picks or it didn't happen era, right? Someone says they met a celebrity and we're not buying it until the selfie drops. A friend says, trust me, and our thumb's already on Google. We got to check them out, right? Make sure they know what they're talking about. Well, I mean, our whole culture really runs on proof, not trust. Before we believe, we need a screenshot, a receipt, or a link in bio. We track every heartbeat on our watches, every mile on our phones. We follow GPS turn by turn because, heaven forbid, we rely on intuition. We even rate coffee shops with the precision of a theology exam. Service, lukewarm. Latte art, heretical. 3 out of 10. Wouldn't not sanctify again. Right? I mean, we crave control. We want to see before we step. Know before we trust. And then the gospel walks in and says, live by faith. Faith? Really? I mean, that sounds kind of risky, doesn't it? Faith means stepping when you can't see where your foot will land. Faith means believing before the evidence loads. Most of us prefer Wi-Fi faith. We'll trust as long as the connection feels strong and the signal bars are full. But when the connection drops, when life buffers, we tend to panic. God, are you even available right now? God, can you hear me? And Paul says to this, no, this is how the righteous do live. It's not by control. It's not by sight. It's not by certainty, but we're to live by faith. And if part one on our last show taught us what righteousness is, which is conformity to God's perfect standard credited to us through Christ, then part two shows us how we live it out, by faith, from start to finish. Because in a generation addicted to proof, God still calls people to trust, to believe, to have faith, even when the algorithm doesn't approve, to obey when the outcome isn't guaranteed, and to rest when the world screams, hustle harder. And so today we're diving into the second half of Romans 1:17, the part that moves us from theology to transformation. And we'll see two realities that define every believer. I mean, we started last week with the righteousness of God is revealed, and today we're going to move to number two, from faith to faith, and then to number three, the just shall live by faith. Okay, so let's move on to number two. As Paul says here in the middle of Romans 1:17, it's the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith for faith. Let's talk about what does that mean, from faith for or to faith. And really, this little phrase has kept scholars up late for centuries. It's Paul's theological mic drop, from faith for faith. I mean, what does that even mean, right? So let's take a look at it. Some read this, and they would say that, as it says here, from God's faithfulness, they would think of it, to our faith. That's one way to see it, from faith to faith, from God's faithfulness to our faith. I mean, your faith isn't self-generated. It rests on His reliability. And even when your faith flickers, His doesn't. I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. And so your faith might be the echo of His faithfulness. Or if God's faithfulness were a playlist, your faith is just hitting repeat. So that's one possibility, from God's faithfulness to our faith. Another way to understand the phrase from faith to faith would be from one degree of faith to another. I mean, others who see it this way see growth here, faith maturing from one degree to another. Faith is like a muscle. You know, it builds resistance and it keeps growing. I mean, every trial is a rep in God's gem. You're not being broken, you're being built. And until we attain to the unity of faith, to mature manhood, Ephesians 4:13 says, kind of giving us this idea of growing or maturing. So again, what does it mean from faith to faith? It could mean from God's faithfulness to our faith, or from one degree of faith to another, or it could mean from start to finish of faith. And this view, I think, is likely what Paul meant when he says from faith to faith, as from beginning to end. I mean, as the NIV puts it, if you read the NIV version, it says, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. In other words, faith isn't just the door into salvation, it's the hallway. It's the living room. It's the whole house. You don't just start with faith. You stay with faith. From the first moment you believe until your final breath, faith is the air your soul breathes. So what does it mean again? It means faith all the way through. From God's faithfulness to yours, from the first spark to the final breath, from believing for salvation to believing through sanctification. I mean, faith is the Christian's operating system, not an app that you just open on Sundays when you go to church, but it's really the operating system running the whole life that you live, right? So we're talking here again about how the just shall live by faith. And that's incredible for us to see here, because we're talking not only today about from faith to faith, but this last phrase, and this is our third major point for just this one verse 17 that we're looking at over these two shows, last time and this time, is that now it ends with this incredible statement, the just shall live by faith. And what Paul is doing here is he's ending verse 17 by quoting Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Literally, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. To get it, step into Habakkuk's world. If you really want to get this, this is where Paul's getting it from. And just be reminded here about what's going on. Habakkuk was looking back at Judah, and he saw corruption everywhere. And so Habakkuk cried out, God, why aren't you doing something? And God said, I am. I'm sending Babylon. Now, that wasn't necessarily comforting. You know, God's people didn't want to be dominated by another pagan nation. That's like asking for help with your landlord and God sending the IRS. I mean, Habakkuk was stunned. God, how can you use those people worse than us in order to judge us? And God replied with one line that still echoes, the righteous shall live by his faith. Translation, you may not understand God's plan, but you can trust God's character. I mean, whatever he's doing and whatever means he's using to discipline you or to sharpen you, it's good, even if he uses something that appears to be evil to bring about a correction in your life. And so faith means trusting God when there's no explanation, obeying God when there's no new outcome that you see on the horizon, and by resting in God and in his truth, like there's no timeline. And by the end of Habakkuk, I think he got it because he started singing in Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Wow. I mean, that's what living in faith looks like. You're trusting God, you're walking in obedience, and you're getting through your day by looking to Christ and not just looking to your circumstances, because that's what faith is all about. That's faith that's living beyond the fear. I mean, when Paul quotes Habakkuk, he's saying that truth still stands. The righteous don't live by effort. They don't live by image. They don't live by emotion. They live by faith. And you can't live by what you feel. I mean, feelings change faster than some computer update. I mean, you can't live by what you see. Life's camera is too zoomed in. You live by trusting in the unseen promises of an unchanging God. That's what we've got to do. We got to live by faith. It's faith in God. And this is really something, this verse here that Paul quotes, and then later it's kind of rediscovered, if you will, by Martin Luther. I mean, let me take you back to the early 1500s where Europe was under the shadow of the medieval religion of superstition and Roman Catholicism. I mean, the church was powerful, it was beautiful, but it was also terrifying. The cathedrals were magnificent, but the consciences of men were miserable, and people feared purgatory like we fear credit card debt. I mean, religion had really become a system of payments and penalties, indulgences, and anxieties. And into that world stepped a young Augustinian monk who I think you know. His name was Martin Luther. He was brilliant, he was fiery, and utterly terrified of God. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, I want to show you how God revealed this truth to Martin Luther in such a way that changed and really put into practice the reformation of living by faith.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment, who is teaching about living by faith from Romans 1:17. And what he's teaching today is the kind of theological clarity young men desperately need and are rarely hearing. And that also is the kind of clarity that young men are going to hear at the Master's University, where Dr. Tyson is a professor. The Master's University is the first place that I would point you. If you have a high school senior, maybe you are thinking about going back to school yourself, whatever the case may be, the Master's University should be at the top of your list. You can get all of the information and get the conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/manhood. And listen, I would commend to you Fortis Plus if you haven't already downloaded it. It's our distribution hub where all of the content we're creating is housed and stored, and that's hundreds of hours of audio and video content, maybe even into the thousands by now. But listen, it's all free of charge. It won't cost you anything. None of our content has a price tag attached to it. So you can go visit the App Store right now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and download it. And the reason that all of this is free is because of men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. That's how we do what we do here at Fortis Institute, is with the help of our gospel partners. And maybe that's you. Maybe you would like to join us as a gospel partner. And if so, we would be honored to stand with you. You can get all of the details at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. Thanks for joining us today on this show. And I want to encourage you to follow us by leaving a review on Apple, give us a star rating on Spotify, and consider sharing it with a brother who needs encouragement in this area. We need to be men who live by faith. And I was just telling you before the break about this young Augustinian monk named Martin Luther. I mean, he was brilliant. He was fiery, and he was utterly terrified of God. I mean, from his youth, Luther had been trained to think of God as the stern judge of the universe, the one who tallied every failure and waited to crush every sinner who fell short. And the more Luther studied the Bible, the worse he felt. He wasn't a lazy monk. He was actually one of the best of monks. He once said, if ever a monk could get to heaven by his monkery, it was I. So Luther, he didn't get the gospel before he was converted, like none of us do, but he did confess constantly. In fact, his confessor, Johann Staupitz, once told him, Martin, stop coming to me with every little sin. Go sin something worth confessing. But Luther couldn't. He would spend 6 hours in the confessional, cataloging every word, every thought, every trace of pride. He would leave only to remember one more sin and rush back in again. He fasted until he fainted. He slept without blankets in the German winter to punish his flesh. He crawled up stone steps on his knees until they bled, repeating prayers with each one, trying to climb his way into God's favor. But no matter how high he climbed, the ladder kept collapsing under the weight of his guilt. Then came the moment that changed everything. While preparing his lectures on the Book of Romans in Wittenberg, Germany, where Luther was both a parish pastor and a theological lecturer, Luther wrestled with this single verse, the one we're looking at last time and today, Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed, the just shall live by faith. He had always read this verse as a condemnation. The righteousness of God, he thought of it as meaning the righteousness by which God judges sinners. But then, through hours of study and tears, the light broke in. He wrote later, I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that righteousness by which the righteous lives by the gift of God, namely by faith. Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates. I love that, right? That's Martin Luther reflecting on his own personal testimony. It wasn't God's righteousness against him. It was God's righteousness that was for him, credited to him by faith alone. And that revelation hit Luther like a thunderclap of grace. All of the self-punishment, all of the fear, all of the confession marathons, none of it could balance the scales. Only Christ could. And Luther later described it like walking out of a dungeon into the daylight. He said the whole of Scripture took on a new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. I mean, that moment was more than just a personal revival. It was the spark that lit a continent. And years later, on October 31st, 1517, that same monk nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. He wasn't trying to start a rebellion. He was actually trying to start a conversation about grace. But the hammer blows echoed farther than he ever imagined. They rang through cathedrals and kingdoms and still ring in every church that preaches salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And when Luther rediscovered the just shall live by faith, the world rediscovered the gospel. Now, the gospel was there all along, right? But Luther helped bring it back into the limelight. They were not saved by just going to some church or walking through works of penance, right? We're saved by faith. And it's not faith in our righteousness. It's faith in Christ's righteousness. And that same faith must live in you today. I mean, we may not wear robes or climb marble stairs, but we're still climbers. We climb with efforts at performance or perfectionism, and we struggle with pressure. We climb to somehow get right with God through making sure that we succeed in our career ladders and our gym ladders and our social ladders and our moral ladders, hoping somehow to feel balanced. And the gospel is saying, stop climbing. Christ already climbed Calvary for you. You don't live for righteousness, you live from it. You don't work to be accepted. You work because you are accepted through repentance and faith in the gospel. And that's what this verse is all about. The just shall live by faith, not fear, not guilt, not performance. Faith isn't the backup plan. It's the whole plan. So young man, what does that mean for you right now? I think it means that you better be looking to Christ. You can't be looking at your own accomplishments, your own achievements, your own merit. You got to look to Christ. If you struggle with assurance of salvation, you got to look to Christ. If you struggle with guilt and shame, you got to look to Christ. I mean, what does that look like for you right now? It's trusting God who is at work when compromise might look easier. It's choosing integrity when the group chat dives into gossip. It's believing purity is possible in a world that laughs at it. It's choosing prayer over panic, obedience over optics, and surrender over self-promotion. I mean, faith looks like showing up to the gem of life when you'd rather scroll through excuses. It's walking by trust when the next step isn't lit, but you know who holds the flashlight. You may not have Habakkuk's Babylon or Luther's staircase, but you've got your own battlefield, your doubts, your temptations, your fears, the abuse that you've faced, the guilt that you feel, and right there the gospel whispers, he already came through. I mean, on our last show, we began this journey standing at the foot of the mountain of Romans 1:17. We started at base camp where Paul first showed us that the righteousness of God is revealed. We looked up at the scales of divine holiness and we saw this devastating truth that we don't measure up. Every grain of our goodness weighed against the perfection of God tipped the balance against us. And then, through the fog of our failure, we saw Christ step onto the other side of the scale. He alone met the standard. He alone conformed the holiness of God. Where our side was light and empty, his side was heavy with perfect obedience, perfect sacrifice, and perfect love. And in part one, we learned that righteousness is not earned by human effort. It is revealed by divine grace. It's God's character displayed, God's action accomplished, and God's achievement credited to our account. And that's the good news, young man, that the judge became the justifier, and the standard that Christ set and that he met became our Savior. But Paul didn't stop there. I mean, he didn't wait for you to just understand righteousness. He wanted you to live it. And so here in part two today, we climbed higher and we heard that the righteousness of God is received from faith to faith. That means from beginning to end. It's all faith all the way through. The same faith that saved you on day one is the same faith that sustained you on day 1,000. You don't graduate from faith. You grow in it. And then Paul handed us the anthem that has thundered throughout history, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk clung to it while his nation collapsed. Luther rediscovered it while the church had lost its way. And you and I need it when our world feels upside down and our heart feels uncertain. Faith is just not the ticket to Christianity. It's the engine that drives it. Faith doesn't deny the storm, it anchors you in the Savior. Faith doesn't mean you'll never doubt, it means that you know where to run when you do. So here's the picture I want to leave you with. Imagine that you're back in the first century marketplace from part one. The merchant's scale sits before you. On one side is God's perfect holiness, flawless, unbending, infinite. On the other side is your life, light, uneven, insufficient. Then Christ steps forward. He places his life, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness on your side of the scale. And for the first time in human history, it balances. Now imagine the merchant looks at you and says, "It is finished." That's what it means to live by faith. You stop trying to pile on your own grain. And you trust in the weight of his grace. And from that moment on, you don't just survive, you live. You live in freedom from guilt. You live in confidence of grace. You live with courage to walk by faith when the world says, "Show me proof." You live by faith when the culture mocks your feelings and you don't know what else to do. You just keep living by faith. Why? Because the scales are balanced. The law is satisfied. The sinner is justified. And the righteous shall live, not by sight, nor by fear, nor by effort, but by faith. So a couple of questions to think about as we wrap this up. Number one, where are you still climbing the stairs of self-effort instead of resting in Christ's finished work? Number two, how can you grow from one degree of faith to another this week? What's one step of trust you can take even today? And number three, if the righteous shall live by faith is true, then what would it look like to stop surviving by fear and to start living by faith right now? Let me pray for you. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Christ's sufficient grace that levels the scales, that saves us by faith. And I pray that you would help us walk in it. God, we don't want to walk in self-effort. We don't want to walk in guilt. We don't want to walk in shame. We want to walk in the joy of Jesus Christ who died in our place so that we could be justified. Help us to live out a life worthy of that sacrifice by looking to you and walking in light of your grace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.